I always get asked, why China? I get that question asked all the time. And, you know, obviously it's what God wants us to do, and that's kind of hard to put into words. But there's 800 million reasons why. And that's how many people in China have never even heard the gospel, a clear presentation of the gospel. And that's a staggering number. It's an unimaginable number. And we're so fortunate here in America to get to hear the gospel. At least some people have a little bit of understanding of Bible and what church is and who God is and what he's done for them. I just think of the people in China. We're working in Beijing. It's the capital. There's roughly 20 million people that live in Beijing. It's actually more than that. They estimated at 20 million, but there is more. There's one of the days that we were there where it was our survey trip where they were rounding up people that didn't have permits to live in Beijing, and they were putting them on buses and taking them back to their place where they live. So that's how communist the country truly is. They don't have the freedoms that we have to travel anywhere we go. I'm a resident of Arizona, and I'm here in Indianapolis, and I'm not in any concern of getting in trouble for being here. Now, they might not like me being here, but we're not in any concern. They live in constant fear of being caught when they're not supposed to be where they're supposed to be. And as far as what we're going to do and how we're going to get to China, as many as you know, it's a closed country. It's communist. You're not legally allowed to be a missionary. I can't go there and shake the custom person's hand and say, hey, where should I start my church? I can't do that because we'll be put back on the plane and sent back here. You can't be a missionary in China. However, you can't stop the gospel. And where the gospel is, if you ever research church history, whenever it's been persecuted, it has grown by leaps and bounds. And they have a very persecuted people right now. And so we'll be starting in Beijing. Our main goal is to learn the language. That's our main concern. If I don't know the language, what good am I going to be as a missionary not to be able to communicate with the people God has called us to minister to? So for the first 3 years, that's really our main focus. We'll help at a church that is already established, that's there. And then from there, let's read the language. Maybe I'll teach a class the first couple years and then come back on a short furlough, go back out, and we'll start a church. We believe in church planting missions. I didn't want to go there to be a teacher. There's a need for that, but that's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to win souls and to plant churches. So if you have any questions about China after the service, come find us at our table. I'll be sure to answer anyone's I can answer. If I don't know the answer, I'll just make it up and go from there. But I'll give you the answer honestly as it is. If you would turn your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, we'll go along with the message. Again, I do thank you for allowing us to be here. I don't take it lightly, like I said. It's an honor and a privilege to be here and to share our burden. You know, God put something in my heart, and the more I go on the road and I see souls and I see people, my burden for China grows, and we're trying. I'm praying for that day where I get to sit down and show somebody from the Bible in China who Jesus is, where we came from, and they'll accept Christ. And that day is going to happen. I can see it, and I can't wait till it's there. If you would, we'll stand for the reading, and I'll stretch your legs a little bit, and I'll have you sit, and we'll pray, and we'll get into the message. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, sorry, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Let's pray. Our dear and Father, Lord, I do thank you again for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to come and to share our burden, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the souls that were mentioned today that have a new home now. They're not going to go to a real place called hell. Now they get to go to a place called heaven, and I pray that they'll grow and they'll be here in 15 and 20 years from now, and their families will be here, and there'll be other souls saved because of them, Lord. I think of everything that takes place here. Be with the rest of the message. Be with me, Lord. Help me not to say words that Travis wants to say, but only words that you will have me to say. Help it to ultimately be a blessing to the church, but ultimately, more importantly than that, to glorify you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I kind of like being a Baptist. I grew up Baptist. I was born at Phoenix Baptist Hospital, so I can claim that. But I grew up, even though my parents got in and out of church, I stayed faithful to a Baptist church, and I make no apologies for that. And it's a good thing. I think us Baptists, the independent Baptists, have it done right, missions done right. And I think of missions, and I know you'll probably hear my pastor's testimony in a couple months from now, but he was saved because of a missionary. He was stationed in the Vietnam during the Vietnam War in the Philippine Islands, and a missionary came to the military, won a couple of people to the Lord, and started a church, and then a man was then trained to go disciple and to go win souls door to door. And he went to the barracks and he witnessed to my pastor, and my pastor got saved. And I often wonder, what would happen if he didn't get saved? Would I have gotten saved? If he didn't get saved, then Cornerstone Baptist Church never would have been started. And where would I be today? And I just think of that. I think of missions. I never thought I would be on this side of the missions. I like being on that side of the missions. I like getting fired up for the Lord. I like helping missionaries out along the way. You know, I didn't think I was qualified. I grew up dyslexic. I grew up learning disabled. I read at a sixth grade level. And if God could use anybody, he will. And he will enable you to do what he wants you to do. But I think of these few verses. I want to use these as a springboard to get to another passage. We'll go through them and we'll go that way. Starting again with verse number 3. For this is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So what is acceptable? What is good? He's about to tell us. Verse number 4. Who, that's Jesus, will have all men to be saved. I love studying my Bible. I think we should study our Bible. I like when sometimes guys get up and they use the Greek words. I can't even spell them in English, let alone in Greek. And I like words of the Bible. I like small words because they're easier for me and easier for everybody else. And I like this word all. Who will have all men to be saved. All men. You know, it's not just for us Americans. It's not just for a certain skin color or a tax bracket. It's for all men to be saved. And that's something we need to keep in our mind. All men. I know I'm thankful that I got to get saved. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God said, you're one of the all. Travis is one of the all. Not because I was chosen. Not because I was picked at birth. I was given the gospel. I was given the choice. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm one of the all men. And that's great. And it will go on in verse 4. And to come unto the knowledge of truth. You know, there's a lot of lies out there. A lot of lies. Coming unto the knowledge of truth. The truth is found between these covers of this book right here. It's alive. It's true. This is the only truth there is. You know, we live in a society where the truth doesn't seem to matter anymore. Just get it out there. Just get it out there, say it, and if it ruins somebody, that's fine. But that's not how God intended it. He wants us to be truth, to be truthful. You know, he says, he is the way, the truth, the life. He is truth. I think of the country we're going to in China. They're given lies. If anybody has ever heard of the religion, Confucian, it was the oldest religion known to man. It happened about 4,300 years ago, 4,200 years ago, right after the flood, by the way, is when that started. And he was different. He would walk with a broom and sweep to make sure that he wasn't going to step on an insect and kill it because he believed all life was important. So the Chinese people don't hold to that religion anymore. But Confucian did teach family, and family is important. So when we get to China, we're going to go after the family because family is important. They teach that. If we can get the elder of the family to get saved, then the whole family will want to hear the gospel. They want to know the truth. You know, God put something in everybody's heart called a conscience to seek what truth is. And there's religions out there that say they have the truth, and it's not true. It's just a lie. They're just lies. And we're out there, and we're going to try to share the truth with people. I know it's a scary world we live in. You know, we watch the news, and I don't even know why I watch the news anymore. That would just depress you. I was watching the local news here, and it was just bad stuff after bad stuff. You guys have it rough in Indianapolis. It's rough out there. I ain't going out in the dark, I'll tell you that much. You know, but the reason they're that way is because they're not saved. The way is the church. The church is the only way to get them to get saved. That's what missionaries do. We get to go out to the communities and win souls for Christ. Verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, in China, they worship many gods. Their main god is humanism. They believe in themselves. They believe that they are God. Their culture is they're very selfish people in a way. You know, in America, we're taught from a young age, you wait your turn in line, and then when it's your turn, you go. In China, there's a hole that big, they're going to get right in there. And they're not being rude. That's just their culture. That's how they're raised. It's, if I don't get it, I'll never get it. That's how their philosophy is. They worship different gods, and they know Buddhists. There's a lot of Buddhists in China. You know, we went to the tourist places when we were there for our survey trip, and I remember going to the Great Wall of China, and I remember seeing temples off to the side with golden idols, and these people that only make 400 kwai a year, which is their money, which is equivalent to $60 a month. A month. That's all they make. They would go to these temples, they would take dollars out of their pockets and throw them down and just sit there in meditation, hoping that that God will reach them. But that's not who God is. And maybe they'll go from there and they'll go to themselves and say, I'm God. They think once we're born, we live and we die. That's what some of them think. But we get to start with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. God created the heavens. God's created them just the way he created you and I. They're not any different. You know, I'm thankful for there's only one race, and that's the human race. And there's only one God. It's up to us, the church, to tell people about who he is. Like I said, I'm thankful for the ones in our past. I know my grandfather was he died when I was 4 years old. I have one memory of my grandfather, and that's it. But when he was 26 years old, he was, I guess, a violent guy. He was mad all the time. He was angry. He worked for Boeing in Wichita, and some man invited him to a church activity where my grandfather came and got saved. And his life completely changed. He became a pastor. He started churches all over Kansas. He became different because someone cared enough to share the gospel with him and share the truth with him. Verse number 6, talking about Jesus again. Who gave himself a ransom for all? There's that word all again. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. At the bottom of my Bible, I wrote these words out. It is due time for the rest of the world to know what we know. For some reason, the church is still here. I think once the church gets raptured out, I think America doesn't stand a chance. I think the church is what's holding America together. And we have time, and I hope it's not false sense of security, but hopefully these next 4 years, we have more time and more freedoms. I hope we don't waste that, because we're running out of time. You know, people always talk about money, you know, and I'm one of the few missionaries that doesn't really care all that much about money. If I get a dime from a church, that's fine. If I get nothing, that's fine too. And, you know, money's not that important, but time's the only thing we can't change. Time runs out. You know, making money is the easiest thing I've ever done in my entire life. But what we do with our time is important, and we need to share that time with other people. We need to see people for who they are, and that's they're sinners. They're just sinners. You know, I sin because I choose to. I got saved. I don't have to sin anymore. I'm dead to it. But I choose to sin. So maybe when we go to the store and someone's mad at us, instead of getting mad back and picking a fight with them, you know, there's a reason they're that way. Maybe it's because they're not saved. People are sinners. You know, we need to stop looking at the person and look through the person. I know we drive a lot. I've driven, I don't know, probably 80,000 miles this last year on our Chrysler minivan. If I would spent all my time looking at the windshield, I would not make it out of the parking lot. But if I look through the windshield, I can get to where we're going. And we need to look through who people are. And God gives us the remedy, his instructions on how we reach people. It worked 2,000 years ago, and it works today. And I'd like us to turn there. It's called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And these are the last words of Jesus Christ. These are the last words. You know, people's last words matter. They matter. People's words matter, period. And, you know, it does matter. And, you know, our words can be a violent thing. I can make my wife cry with just my words. I'm not doing that on purpose, by the way. I never have done that on purpose. But it does happen, believe it or not. But you seem so nice, Travis. I know. It's weird to me, too. But people's words matter. And I think of people's famous people's last words. I Googled this the other day. It was kind of fun. Winston Churchill said, "I'm bored with it all." And then he died. So I guess he's not bored anymore. Pistol Pete Maravich, one of the greatest basketball players of the 70s. He owns the college point record. And he died of cancer in, I think, the 80s. And his famous last words were, "I feel great." That's the words he said before he passed away. Benjamin Franklin said, "A dying man can do nothing." And then he died. For all your hopeless romantics out there, John Wayne, you guys ever heard of John Wayne? He said, "Of course I know who you are. You're my girl, and I love you." And then he died. I know my grandma. She died when I was about 10 years ago, I guess it was. My grandma and I were very close. My grandma was very special to me. Like I said, she took me to church when my aunt couldn't. And she was very special. She was the most godly woman I really ever met. And when I would spend the night at her house, not every once in a while, but every single time, didn't matter if I woke up at 6 in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning, my grandma would be drinking a cup of coffee at her table and reading her Bible. She would get done with whatever passage she was at. She would shut her Bible, and she would make me delicious eggs. I remember my grandma. When she died, it was very sad for me. But I remember she died on Friday the 13th, but on the 12th, around 8 o'clock at night, we went over there, and she was in hospice, and I remember her moving around, and her eyes opened, and she started to talk a little bit. So we got real close to see what she said, and she said this, "Can you see them? They're beautiful." And then she passed on. God allowed her to die in a very graceful way. I know my last words, I hope they do something like that, that will motivate someone to be a better Christian, or some kind of joke like, "Hey, I buried 1,000 pounds of gold by the," and then just die, and have people look for it. That'd be a fun one. They'll be looking for the Sanders lost treasure forever, but it's not there. But last words. These are Jesus' last words when he was here. He was ministering. They're for us. They're for a purpose. Draw your attention to verse 18 of chapter 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me and in heaven and in earth. You know, all power is given unto Jesus. You know, we serve a powerful God. I'm very thankful for that. He's not fake. It's not a thought in our heads. He's real. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed just to myself without my wife knowing or anybody else knowing, and God has answered that prayer for someone I haven't talked to in a long time. You can't explain it. He's real. He's powerful. All power is given unto me in heaven. All powerful. He's powerful. I keep saying that, but I can't get over it. He's powerful. And are you scared to go to China? No, I'm not, because I serve a powerful God. You know, I had a lady come up to me at another church. She was real nervous for us. She was a grandmother. She was holding her hand, shaking. And like, aren't you scared you'll get arrested? I said, really, I'm not. She goes, what happens if you do? I said, I'll start a prison ministry. I don't know. But it's not for us to be fearful of what God has us do. So all power. And Acts, I know you know this verse. You can just listen in. Acts 1 and chapter 8. But ye shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. That's our job as a church. You know, the missionary that was here last week, his first name was Henry. Is that his first name? Hunter. Our church supports him. So when I give my mission dollars, and your church already supports him, correct? So I get fruit to his account, or he gets fruit to my account, I should say, and you guys do too. To me, the more I travel around, the more I see that, the more exciting it gets to know that our mission dollars make an impact on someone else's life. And the people in the Philippines are getting saved. And it's phenomenal one day when I get to meet them and go and see them in heaven. I can't wait for that day. But while I'm here, I want to do my best to glorify the Lord. And verse number 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teach all nations. We're not going to teach them to be Americans. That's not our job. You know, some cultures, they can't wear suits to church because they would die of sweat. You know, and that's not our job, is to make them Americans. I believe we should look our best. And this is the kind of church I'm used to, and this is the kind of church I like to tend to try to find as I go on the road. I don't want to find a church that I walk into and I'm shocked and blows my hair away or something. But, you know, teach them what the Bible says. You know, we have to go somewhere and teach them that everything they've ever been taught is wrong. That's not a first time you hear it salvation story in most cases. But God has put something in their heart. They want to know what the truth is. Their government says you can't have the Bible. They say, why? Why can't I have that Bible? I want to find out why I can't read it. And now it's so easy to have the Bible. You have it on any device, even in China. You have any device. It's not that hard to get to. I know plenty of Chinese people that have Bibles. It's not as scary as it used to be. But they get to read it, and they want to know why. And they get to read the Bible and see who Jesus is and find out, wait a minute, you told me I came from evolution, but this book says I came from a God that said in the beginning, I was there and here you are. They're excited about that, baptizing them. We're going to baptize them. We're going to teach them. We're going to disciple disciple them. Our goal when we get to China is not only to start a church, but to start other churches, to disciple people, to have them get fired up for the Lord, much like you guys do here, and get to go out and tell people about Jesus. You know, we all have a testimony. We all can share it at one time or another. Verse number 20. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, Jesus is with us always. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. You know, I remember in high school, I was a freshman in high school, and I was going out for the football team. I really have no idea why. I wasn't very big. I liked to play sports, but I wasn't that good. My oldest brother was a freshman in college, but he makes me look small. In high school, he was 6'5", 330 pounds, and their offensive line outweighed the Cardinals' offense, the professional football team in Arizona. Cardinals outweighed them by 22 pounds, and they did an article about him. And my brother was the second biggest guy. So the year that he left was my first year in high school. And back then, yes, I had hair, and I loved every second of it. It was fun to comb, and I could run my fingers through it. It was amazing. It really was. And I went to go to the practice that day, and they started tackling freshmen to shave their heads as an initiation. And I did like my hair, and I wasn't going to go down without a fight. And so I was kind of elbowing and doing the best I could to wean it off. I had about two or three guys grab me, and they start walking me towards the locker room. And then one guy recognizes my face, and then he gets scared. Hold on, are you Sandra's brother? I said, yes. They drop me. They dust me off. they made me feel okay. Are you okay? I'm like, get up off me now. They made you feel strong. My brother, even though he wasn't there, every time I read this verse, I think of that moment. Every time, even though he wasn't there, who he was protected me from a situation that I didn't want to be in. And Jesus is strong, far more powerful than my brother. He's kept us safe throughout the road. He's kept you safe. You know, he's brought you to this point in your life. He's far more stronger than any other person. You know, he can protect us through all situations, even the scariest times. I've heard testimonies of missionaries of old that have been arrested because they want to take a license from a state, or they've been in jail for 7 years. And the same God was with them, was with us. Joshua 1:5. I love the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 is a phenomenal book. If you ever get a chance to study Joshua, I love that chapter. It's when Moses is stepping away. He died off the scene, and Joshua comes in the power. In verse 5, God says to Joshua, There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. The same God that penciled that in for Joshua says that to us today. You know, maybe God hasn't called you to a foreign mission field, but I guarantee you, he's called you 110 feet to your neighbor's house to share the gospel. You know, as we travel more, the more I get burdened for souls, and I take tracts from every church I go to, and I do my best to hand them out. And it's kind of odd when you go to a different city where that church isn't at, but I still want them to get the gospel and know who they are and know where they came from and give them a purpose, because people are hurting. You know, I've told them, pastor at lunch today, people always tell me, I don't like giving tracts out. I might get yelled at. Well, I get yelled at when I drive my car, and I still go drive my car. You know, you're going to get it, but the stories of someone's salvation, it's far outweighs the story of getting persecuted by getting yelled at someone's front door. If you would, I'll close with this scripture, John 3:16. You guys can turn there. John 3:16. I think a lot of times we see John 3:16 everywhere. It's all over sports games, and you hear people quote it. Right now in your head, you're probably quoting it in your head. I hope we don't lose what it is. It's not just some verse to read, to skim past, just to say, okay, I'm done with it. Now move on to the next thing. This is a very important verse. It's the gospel in one verse. I will read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We all know that's not the planet. That's the people that inhabit the planet. That whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it goes on. And the next two verses are what I really want to focus on. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why God came. That's why he came for us, that he might be saved. It's a choice, like I said, and I'm going to give the Chinese people the best chance I have to give them a choice to accept who Jesus Christ is. Verse 18, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. That tells me that it's not their fault, it's our fault. If they've never heard who he was, it's our fault. And like I said, I love being part of missions, I do. I love our church missions conference is always in January. It's an exciting time, but we need to tell people about Jesus. We don't know, there might be the next pastor of this church might be in a house right now, somewhere in Indianapolis. I don't know what the plans are, so don't quote me on this, obviously. There might be a missionary somewhere. There might be a choir member sitting there watching TV, and they need to hear the gospel. We should tell them. I think of Nathaniel and Philip. You know that story when Philip finds Jesus? He goes over and tells Nathaniel, hey, we found Jesus. And Nathaniel said back to him, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? You remember that? And, you know, Philip didn't have the Bible yet. He didn't know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He didn't know that. But he didn't know any of that stuff. But Philip's, one of the greatest soul-winning stories in the Bible, said a couple words. Come and see. That's all he said. Just come and see. He didn't take much more than that. You know, we all have a testimony. Maybe you grew up in church your whole life, but you still have a testimony. Maybe your life was a little tougher. We still have a testimony. I know my testimony is not that inspiring. I did go to church my whole life, and I did hear sound doctrine from the time I was 11 to 18 until I finally got saved. I know for me, that's how long it took me, but we all have a testimony. I could share that with other people. I think about missions, and I think of why they're important, and I appreciate churches like this that support missions and or have the philosophy of missions. And I was watching some of the channels at a motel, and I got on a documentary of some kind of soldier. I don't know what he was, what branch he was with. I just got the very back part of it, and he was in his nice uniform, and he was walking through the crowd. He was getting some kind of trophy or reward for whatever he did. And I've never heard a soldier say this before, and it caught me. And he was walking through the crowd, and people would walk up and shake his hand and say, "Hey, thank you for your service." And he would say to complete and total strangers, "You were worth it." And the next person would walk up to him and say, "Hey, thank you for your service." And they would say, "You know what? You were worth it." To everybody he talked to like that. And I got to thinking, you know, when we go to heaven, we get to go see Jesus. And I don't know how long we're going to be there in that room. I don't know if it's a room. I don't know what's going to take place. But I don't know how long we're going to stare at Jesus. But you're going to say, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin." And Jesus is going to look at you and say, "Hey, you were worth it." But then I got to thinking, maybe there's going to be someone there that's going to tug your arm and say, "Hey, did you go to Lighthouse Baptist Church?" "Yes, I did." "Did you give to the missions program over there?" "I did." He goes, "Because of you, I got saved in the Philippine Islands." And you're going to be able to look at them and say, "You were worth it." You know, you were worth it. They're worth it. People are worth it. It's time for us to take our eyes off ourselves. I know that speaks to me personally. And see people who they are, and they need to get to heaven. And one day, if they can use you, they can use missionary. You don't have to be someone special. You don't have to be huge in Bible doctrine. You just have to know that you have a testimony. And you can look at them one day and say, "You were worth it." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I do thank you again for this day. We thank you for this church. We thank you for who they are and what they stand for. I thank you for the time to get to speak. I pray that it was encouragement to somebody. More importantly, that you were glorified through it, Lord. Be with this time of invitation as Pastor comes and everything that takes place. In Jesus' name.